Well, this next topic is one that we all have been talking about for the last 3 years, the Millionaire Chess franchise that you and Amy have bravely moved on and have hosted three wonderful tournaments. A week ago, we had the third edition, and the tournament actually got off to a very unfortunate start where Amy had to go into the hospital and have an emergency operation, and that all took us by surprise. But in that event, or that incident rather, how did that affect the overall tournament in terms of getting off to a favorable start?
Well, Amy is incredible. I mean, she has done so much for us in terms of sponsoring these events, but not only sponsoring it, but being such a hands-on leader. I mean, she is an integral part of the organizational team. It's not like she said, oh yeah, here's some money and that's it. No, she knows every aspect of the company. She doesn't know the side, that's my responsibility, but in terms of organizing business and hiring and all that, Amy is full-fledged into it. And there's a lot I rely on that I don't have to think about when she's around, because I know, okay, Amy knows the answer to that question and to that question, and she throws stuff at me and I try to remember everything. So to lose her right at the very beginning was like, whoa, okay, I've got to get into an event mode right now, because all the questions that she would have normally answered, she can't. She's under a knife. She's got medicine in her. I can't stress her with anything. I've got to answer all the questions and deal with all the issues. So that was really a personal challenge for me. Fortunately, the systems were in place over 3 years that made it much, much easier to pull off. We had a great staff. We had a great operations manager in Bruce doing great work. We had Teresa, who had been with us for the last couple of years. So she knew things that were going on, and I could just say to them, hey, listen, this, and they'd go, got it done. We knew the issues from the years before that we had covered. We had a great team of late young ladies at the front manning the registration desk. And Harris was simple to work with. They were wonderful, to be honest. They were just great. And that made it much easier. That this one was the best one in terms of running the event that anyone we ever did. And I think that's important, because I've been telling Amy, I would like to see her on a beach somewhere while Millionaire Chess is going on. We don't need her running around. That's crazy. And in this case, she saw what it was like without her. She didn't have to stress the event itself. She doesn't have to be there. And frankly, I want to be on a beach at some point as well, and let the tournament directors do their thing. They're the ones in charge. I shouldn't have to be there once it's set up. And that's your hope you have for any event, that you set it in motion and then let great staff take care of it. So now, unfortunately, we're in a position where we may not be able to do it next year anyway. So who knows? But at least we ran three events that were a credit to chess.
Well, I think there has been a consensus that this was, in terms of organizational, the level was very high. I did 10 interviews, and I asked a number of the players their impressions. And in fact, Christian Scarilla had played in all of them, and he gave his impressions as well. How did this particular edition in Atlantic City differ from the Planet Hollywood in Vegas in terms of the venue, in terms of just the setup? How did those two sites differ?
Oh man, a night and day. First of all, it's not Vegas. I mean, Vegas is Vegas. There's nothing you can do about that. Vegas is just like entertainment capital of the world, right? So it was less distractions, to be sure. Not that I had any distractions around in Vegas, because I was working. I was sleeping like 4 hours a night, doing so much work. But that was certainly one big difference. But that, in some ways, that allowed it to just be a chess tournament and be just about the chess. It's a bigger location. It's a brand new building, only a year old, the conference center in Harris. They have it down pat, the system that they run there. And it caters now to conferences primarily. That's their new business niche. They're only trying to focus on being conference friendly, business friendly. That's what they want to rewrite, as their identity, as opposed to back in the day when they were just casino, 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 and trying to be a little Vegas. So we got the royal treatment there. And obviously, this millionaire was really not a millionaire tournament because it didn't feature the $1 million prize fund. So that was a difference that, unfortunately, we had to make some hard decisions on if we wanted to continue the tournament. And so we cut back in some places and just made it more like a chess event. You know, we didn't have a pool party and some of the extravagances that we did in previous years. So that was a reality. I don't think chess players really minded that much because 2 games a day is 2 games a day and you got to play. We still had all the elements of a millionaire chess tournament, obviously, in terms of, you know, the look of the place, the champions, banners, the table runners that gave it that sense of quality, the chess sets laid out, the Reykjavik chess sets for the players, the clocks, you know, players don't have to bring anything. We had all those elements in place still, but so we don't want to lose our identity completely, but it certainly wasn't exactly what it was in previous years.
Well, I know I was standing behind one young lady checking my phone before I went into the hall. And I think this was the first or second round. And she says, "Where's the confessional booth?" That was one of the things that she was kind of looking forward to, I guess, in between moves, going to the confession booth and telling the audience what was happening. And she also mentioned the webcast, the live commentary that we have become accustomed to in the millionaire chess experience. The Water Girls obviously was something that was a nice touch. So you had some really good ideas. I mean, these it's not like these ideas are lost. You've proven that you have some good ideas that worked. Then there was
some expensive ideas too. By the way, that's $100,000 for that whole broadcasting thing. I mean. You know, yeah, sure, we like to broadcast our tournament to the world, but that's just a straight nut. Like, boom, grab the 100K, you got 100K, we'll just, you know, bring in all the commentators, the world class broadcasting team with all their cameras, equipment and all that stuff. Who's doing that in the United States, except in St. Louis? Who's doing that? You know, which chess tournament can you go to anywhere in the US and in a lot of places? And actually, almost anywhere in the world, including all the top FIDE events, where you get that kind of world-class production and you're willing to just spend it and say, here's the money. We're just going to make this into a show that people can watch and make it like you're watching ESPN. That's the kind of thing I think people didn't really appreciate about our event. They just sort of some people think of it as an expensive, you know, proposition for chess players. But we were willing to put the money down to – add to the entire experience in ways that we didn't have to, because we believe in a vision for chess that is grand, and we haven't quite caught up to I don't know if it's we or the world hasn't caught up to it yet, but maybe we've raced ahead in terms of the vision of what's possible for chess, and maybe it'll be that way in 5 years or 10 years. I don't know, but right now, it just wasn't the case.
Well, I know that there was some discussion going on talking about the players who actually came out to support. And you had a very, very diverse, player pool in terms of federations represented. And someone said, where are the American players? Well, some of them were in Isle of Man playing in that tournament. Some of the elite players were in that. But they noticed that there wasn't a whole lot of support from the U.S. players, and there seemed to be more support from the overseas players, which is actually ironic because it's more expensive for them to come here to play. Why is that such, there's such an irony in that, and I'm trying to figure out why that is, that local players may be less likely to play in a tournament, even though the entry fee was... what, $549? And
well, it was $500 originally. I mean, it was $549, but if you came in early, it was $499, so it was less than $500.
Yeah, and still you got less numbers than the 1,000 when it was $1,000. So it's really puzzling, and I don't know how much you've thought this over, but what have you come to in making sense out of this whole notion of pricing, entry fees, and versus the number of people that you're able to attract?
I thought it over a lot, and I don't have an answer. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I don't get it at all. We thought that we would at least get about 800 would be just a given, given that price point had gone down. Vegas was Atlantic City. Atlantic City doesn't have an international airport, but at the same time, we were thinking that the Eastern Seaboard has all those millions of people on it and all those chess players on it that would just drive. It wouldn't even be necessarily that people would be flying in from all over the world. It would be much more of a domestic event, and the domestic players did not show. I mean, that's just exactly what happened. The people who could have driven in from New York, from Philly, from Boston, I mean, there were obviously players up from D.C. and Virginia and those places. The numbers just weren't there. And that to me is just stunning. And we still don't really get it. I still don't get it. The American base, I get it. It's not an American game. The U.S. is not yet there. And, you know, we could talk about it in terms of millionaire chess. But again, you can look at the Queen of Katwe. Would this have made more noise in another country? If the film were made in some place that really values chess, what about the American events like the Singfield Cup, for example? I mean, this is a fantastic event. You don't see fans flocking to St. Louis. Watch that, right? All the best players in the world. Okay. You got Magnus Carlsen there on a regular basis. You got Nakamura. You got Caruana. You got all the Wesley. So you got all these players. Anand, for crying out loud. That chess club should be shutting down. They should be shutting down like all the streets around it, right? You've got the gods of chess coming to a location, and what? We don't see that many fans. I mean, there's some fans on like opening day, but I'm curious to see what happens when the World Championship comes as well, right? To New York. What are we going to see in terms of those massive numbers? Like I said, in Baku, it was money poured down. There was TV coverage for the event in multiple languages. There was something about it that was important. The Grand Chess in Paris, the fans were there, you know, in the audience, watching, enjoying the fight, even though there wasn't even commentary that they could listen to, just watching it on the screen. They were filling that hall that they were playing in. So I don't really know the answer. I think that a lot of people say a lot of things about Millionaire itself. Maybe it's just too expensive. And blah, blah, blah. Lots of reasons that people give. I think no one really knows the answer like that. It may just be just that simple. Chess is not where we want it to be, and it's going to take some time to get there. And maybe, it was not wise of us to make a bet on chess as big as we did. Maybe. I say maybe because you never know. Something really special might happen as a result, of that gamble that we took. But at the moment, it's just not clear.
So is there anything in hindsight after three tournaments, and of course you had your core supporters who would support anything that you do in the way of Millionaire Chess, then you have those who won't play regardless of whatever you do, and then you have those who are kind of in the middle. Is there anything you would do differently, or you would have done differently in these three tournaments?
I think of all the things, I probably would not have guaranteed the prize fund. I think that it was too steep a bet in believing that the players would see the video of it and come on board. And I think that that would be the single thing that would have altered. I might have decided, let's just, you know, give a percentage prize fund and see what happens. Because the straight bet of a guarantee that you're going to win a 100 grand check for first place, it's bold. It makes a statement. It certainly did. But it was very costly. And I don't think a lot of people realize how all the numbers that were involved in terms of, like I said, 100 grand alone, just a quick 100 grand nut, just to broadcast the thing. When we didn't have to broadcast any of it, we just could have said 100 grand, let's keep it in our pocket. We don't have to broadcast any of this. Just have a tournament, right? All the extras that we did, that's just standard to us. And even in European tournaments and things like buying all those clocks, buying all those sets, providing the water, young ladies walking around with water to serve the players, security that is not like at any American event. Actually have like security personnel with walkthroughs as you walk through in order to do our best so that people can feel somewhat more secure against any kind of cheating. I mean, we tried what we could and we spent the money on it. And that, those are all costs. Those are all real costs that affect our bottom line beyond just the guaranteed prize fund. And those add up fast, I will tell you. So if we had been, you know, if we had maybe held back on those costs and just run a chess tournament at first and maybe not guarantee the prize fund, that I would say may have been a wiser move to do and take steps. And maybe, frankly, you know, we were not guaranteeing that we were even going to do the first one. And then when we did guarantee we were going to do the first one, we didn't have to do a second one once we saw the loss. We could have just as easily said, you know what? Let's stop here. Let's just not bother because it looks like it's a losing idea. So it was a bold thing to do. Certainly there was money loss. You know, for me, I spent 3 years of my life doing it. Obviously, as part owner in the company, you don't get paid if there's no revenue. So it's been a labor of love. And I'm proud of what happened. I'm proud of seeing Millionaire Chess be what it was. Could we have done some things differently? Maybe more judiciously? Absolutely. You could talk about it after the fact. You don't know that going in. And so we did what we did, and I embraced, to me, I'm a person who embraces, the past. You do what you do. You try what you could on the circumstances, what you knew, and then you go on from there and let the repercussions be what they are. Again, we don't know what the future holds. Something amazing could happen as a result of that bold vision, and then we'll all be talking about, hey, what a great thing you did. But until then, we just have to say we created three wonderful events that the chess world can be proud of, that respected chess, and let history be our judge, and everyone has a right to comment on their feelings on this.
Well, I wanted you to know that the chess players that I have talked to and myself, I'm very grateful at what you and Amy have attempted. Not to mention, you didn't mention the million square, MC square. Wrap your head around that. You get to win $1 million just by choosing, one out of 64 squares. Which is, I've never seen that done before, but I think these ideas that you have brought forth, even though some of them obviously didn't work, like the comedy shows, those fell flat. But I mean, there was a lot of things that I think
blame the comedian, not the idea. I'm sure if we got Kevin Hart up in there, y'all wouldn't be saying the same thing.
You got to drop $100,000 for him too.
That's right. You get what you pay for. Let's get real. You get what you pay for.
Exactly. But I think the effort was there. The passion was there. And we really appreciate the effort that you've put forth. And I was talking to Pontus Carlson and I asked him, I said, what made you come out to this one? And he says, to be honest, I thought this may be the last one. So I wanted to support Maurice. I wanted to support the Millionaire Chess. And so he came all the way from Sweden just to play in the tournament because he thought it may be the last one. And whether or not it is the last one or not, I think the point has been made that, I think there's some aspects of high stakes chess that we accept. You got 550 in the first two, so that's 550 who are willing to pay $1,000, which, I mean, that's never been done before, at least in American history. So I think a lot was done right, and we have something that we can look back on, and you have me as a supporter and, you know, also as a strategist if we want to look at this and maybe come up with, another edition. And perhaps you have other people who have already stepped up to offer support. At the end of the closing ceremonies, you were kind of saying, well, you don't know if it's going to be the last one, and there was some buzz about potential sponsors coming forth. Have you gotten any buzz as far as that's concerned?
Let me just say I have, but I am guardedly optimistic. I don't believe anything until it happens. Right? That's just my attitude. And we'll talk with people. There's a lot of people who came up to me afterwards who expressed remorse, regret, that maybe this would be the last one. I really appreciated everyone who came out because they thought it might be the last one. And that kind of support means a lot. The 550 people who showed up and paid $1,000 and more than $1,000. I'm sorry, because there were people who paid as much as $1,500 to play. So you're talking about over $600,000 in revenue raised, from player entry fee. Just wrap your head around that idea by itself. Of course, when you have a $1 million guarantee and about $400,000 in expenses, that's not enough. But just for a chess tournament to garner that kind of, mass amount, right? I mean, it's over $600,000, that we took in entry fees alone. That's saying something. But again, we appreciate the support. I'll still be, rattling some cages and hoping that something happens. But in my gut right now, I don't see it more than a 20 to 30% chance that we'll do another one next year. But I wouldn't put it past us to do another one in 2 or 3 years' time. And maybe that's the kind of event it has to be. Maybe it's quadrennial, maybe it's once every 4 years, like the Olympics. The actual Olympics, not the chess Olympics, maybe it's that kind of event where people have to say, hey, I'm going to save up for Millionaire, because it's a special thing and I'm not going to see it for another 4 years. Maybe that's the right thing to do. And that'll give Amy and myself some time to carry out some of the other ventures that we're passionate about. I know Amy has some new ventures, business ventures that she's getting involved in. And, I'm back in my home base, teaching chess to kids in Brooklyn, teaching at the Police Athletic League. I was just there today as well, and trying to inspire young minds, and also still talking with people about Africa and trying to help, also my presence in St. Louis as somebody who helps there as a commentator and also the Scholastic program. So I'm back in my bailiwick, this is my strong suit right here. And, we'll see if being an organizer will work out in time. Maybe it's just not what I'm destined to do, and to be in the chess world. But, this is a game I love. I will continue to love until my last breath. And I'll keep trying to promote it as best I can until I'm taken from this world.
Well, on that note, Maurice, I'd like to thank you for your time and your all of the insight that you've given and your effort and your love of chess. You and Amy have done a good service to the chess community, and we're forever grateful and forever indebted for your service. So I'd like to thank you again, and I'll see you at perhaps at the World Championship if you're going to be there.
Hey, I'm in New York, baby. What do you think? he's coming to the Big Apple, no question, man. I keep my feet up and get the popcorn ready, because as long as somebody can get their feelings hurt, I'm in the front row.
Okay, well, I might be sleeping on your floor then if I come there. All right, Maurice, we'll be seeing you, and thanks again for the chat.
Thank you.
All right, Maurice, this is Daim Shabazz, and we're signing off.